kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I want to encourage you in faith, and we're calling the teaching today, Faith Will Triumph. Faith Will Triumph. And I believe this to be, like all our teachings, to be an important one, because if we do not believe that our faith triumphs, we are going to waver. We are not going to have a vision. We are never going to be sure. We will be insecure. And our vision of looking to Christ, who is the author finisher of our faith, will be impaired. So we're calling this today, Faith Will Triumph. And I'm taking this from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And of course, in this chapter, it speaks about the race that we are set in. We, each of us, are set in a race, and it is a race about faith. It is a race where you will triumph, you will win this race if you keep your eyes solely upon the Lord, who is the author and finisher of your faith. And it opens up in chapter 12 that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have run the race similar to us. And then in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this in verse 2 gives us a clear indication how our Saviour run the race himself, just like we are. And it says, we now look to Jesus, where he was looking to his Father, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So like any book that you would read, the author starts it and finishes it. Else it wouldn't be by that author. And it is exactly the same with the Word of God, and the same with your faith. He has started it, he will finish it, because he is sovereign. And you may be saying to yourself, oh, but Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know those mountains, those obstacles that are in front of me. Well, as I always say, God has made no mistake. He's made no mistake over calling you by his mercy and grace, and he will perform, perfect, and finish what he has started. God always does that because he is sovereign. So whatever it looks like, whatever you feel like, whatever your week has been, God continues to work with our faith. That is indeed why we're here today in fellowship. He's addressing this very issue because maybe some of you are thinking, you know, I'm finding this so, so difficult to walk this faith. Well, God said it wouldn't be easy, but he did say, I will finish your walk. I will perfect it in my sight because I'm the author and finisher who, for the joy that was set before him, so we're now looking to our Lord. It says that the joy was set before him. One would find that at times a bit difficult to understand. But there is a vision. There is a joy to come. There is a victory. There is a conquering in what he's going to do by walking by faith, because he's going to deal with the enemy, he's going to deal with sin, death at the cross. That is the joy, that is the vision that is set before him. Enduring the cross. What is he enduring? He's enduring the humiliation, the shame of the cross. That is what he's enduring, despising its shame, as sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So becoming that sin bearer, bearing the punishment of our sin, our guilt in his flesh, humiliated in his flesh. And note that we said that the joy that was set before him now has overcome. He is the first overcomer, gone forth, risen now, triumphed over death, sits on the throne of God at the right hand, interceding. That was his race. That was his faith, believing in what the Father was accomplishing through him. And likewise, the same with you and I, because faith will triumph. Your walk that has been predestined before the foundation of the world is absolutely tailor-made for you to triumph. This is why our trials and our testings are not a mistake. They are for a reason, because God is going to have you have a faith that triumphs, that believes, so that just, you know, it's not a faith that's just going to make it in by the skin of your teeth. That is not the faith that God has been teaching with FGA. Sadly, with a lot of churches and Christians, they just about have enough faith to muster it just to make it in. That is not the deeper life. The deeper life is that you inherit now in this life what has been granted and given to you. In other words, you draw from your account. We gave a teaching a few weeks ago on this. And your account, what is in your account, as you read these promises in the Word of God and you begin to enter into them now by faith. So this is why we can confidently say our faith will triumph in the Lord. If our Lord was just believing to make it in by the skin of his teeth, he would never have even gone to the cross. How much more that we are now baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have received his Spirit, he has come to us, not only empowered us, but to teach us to embrace these promises, to have the faith that he walked by, that we also walk by. And yet we don't believe, because we're still trapped by our emotions and how I feel. But stay with it, and we will start to rise above it, and we will gain a greater and bigger victory. All the while, you're held by your feelings and your emotions. Your faith is inward looking. It is dealing with me. It's about me, my problems, my life, and everything. And we still talk so much about it, don't we? We hear it from one another. When we start talking, we're always talking about inward things, problems with the family or whatever it is. Your faith has got to rise above that and become kingdom-minded. There's a world out there. There's a future. There's God's kingdom that is coming. We have to raise our spiritual vision into the heavenly places, because that is where we sit with Christ Jesus. Your faith is not given to you to be inward looking, to be gazing at your navel all the time. That is not what it is given for. And so you need to ask the Lord, broaden my horizon. Help me to become kingdom-minded, to see as you see. That is the faith that triumphs, and that is the faith that we're to have. What does Habakkuk say in chapter 2 and verse 4? In chapter 2, verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It's a gift, and it's been given to you, and it's a fruit of the Spirit, and it has to grow and develop and become fruitful. But he says, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. In other words, he's full of pride. He's not righteous. His pride is about himself, what he wants to do, his achievements. You know proud people because all you hear is they talk about themselves and their achievements. Me, self, I. And God still has to get that out of us. And he does it by the cross that we take up daily and follow him. What does Romans chapter 1 have to say to us? Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17 of Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. Note particularly in verse 17, he says, for in the gospel, the preaching of the word, just what we're doing today, he says, in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Whose righteousness? The Lord's righteousness, which is imputed to you. You now have been given a standing before him. You have been pronounced righteous in his sight because his blood has dealt with your sin, your unbelief. And this is continued to be revealed to us from faith to faith. Why is this right standing before God continue to be revealed? Because we don't believe it. Our actions, our faith doesn't always line up that I am now right with God, at peace, fellowship, harmony, oneness. He's no longer my enemy. And that has to be revealed to us from faith to faith. So we begin to see then that the triumph of our faith is a continual revelation, an unfolding, a learning of what he has done for us. You see, when we deal with faith, it's not long before we get back to Calvary and the redemptive work that Christ has done for us. So to have a faith that triumphs, that is a faith that's believing that I triumph, you have to also continue to learn that I have this stand with God as a son, as a daughter of God. I now have access to my account. These promises, all that he has done for me has been deposited into my account, and I draw from it. And when you are drawing from your account, you are drawing from the word of God, the promises of God, they are never for you to be inward looking, to be selfish for myself. That is not the nature of these promises. That is not even the nature of you being declared righteous. You are declared righteous for the purpose that, yes, you are in yourself declared right, but that you look to Jesus, the one who has declared you to be right. You look to him and him alone. If you are truly made right before God, then that gives you a vision to look away from self and to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That is what it does. Jesus could not look to his circumstances. He couldn't look to the cross that he was going to face. He had to look to his Father, to the promises of his Father. He was solely fixed upon that. And it's the same principle for us, the one who will cause us to triumph with our faith. He is the one. If you like, our victory is Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. If you want to know what faith is, look fully to Christ. And when you are looking fully to him, you haven't got any time to look elsewhere and to keep looking to self and circumstances and the problems in the family or problems with my work or my health, or whatever it would be that all tries to take our time away from us of looking to Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That's why he says, don't take thought for any of these things. Don't concern yourself. You may be late in paying the bills. The money may not be in the bank yet, what you want. He says, don't take any thought. Be consumed with me. Think on me. Fellowship with me. Talk with me. Keep in that attitude of prayer. Keep in those tongues. And it will come in. It will be there. Don't even try and work it out. They are the mountains, the obstacles to our faith that are removed and cast into the sea, cast away as far as the east is to the west, just like he's done with your sin. Same principle. Because faith triumphs. That is the nature of it. And when you walk by faith, you're always walking on the edge of a precipice. You're always about to fall over. You're always about to topple off. That's our walk. That's the nature of it. And so when you come through, you've got to test me. That was God that brought me through. Because I was standing on the brink of disaster. And that is what faith is. That is what it looks like. Else it's not faith. Everything in the flesh, in the natural, is against us. I saw a video clip the other day. It was in a swimming pool. And they got... It was in the pool and they were creating a sort of pressure of water coming out along the swimming pool, and it was for swimmers to swim upstream. And this water is gushing and these swimmers are swimming away. They're not moving, but they're trying to... defeat the rapids. And I thought to myself, I looked at that and I thought, that's exactly at times how we are. We're against the flow, we're against the rapids. And it's like we just keep our heads above water and we're swimming away, swimming away. Well, how much more? With Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what our walk is like. Yes, salmons do this. That's how they spawn. And we can see these types in nature, and you can identify with it and see, yes, that's my life. That's how I walk. My life is on the brink of a disaster every day. It shouldn't work. And yet here we are after all these years. Some of us over 40 years. Praise God. Why? Because faith will triumph. That's why. And in the end, you begin to get it. You think, I'm not going to get all agitated. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to allow my blood pressure to rise up and everything. I'm just going to rest. My Father will bring me through. Don't know how. Not for me to know, but he will, and he does. Because that is what love does. And that is why faith is motivated by love. Whose love? The Father's love towards us. That is why. And so, as it says back in verse 17, his righteousness is revealed to us from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, or by his faithfulness. He's planted it in you. He has given you the ability to believe, to open your eyes to his word. Well, if he's done that, will he not finish the work that he has done? And the revelation of salvation can only be revealed from faith to faith. If you want to know you're truly saved, you're settled upon that, then it is revealed from faith to faith. Because there does come times when you think, Lord, I can't be saved. What I've just done, or I've just said. In the natural outwardly, it takes you by surprise. But God has allowed that because he's working humility in you. Every true born-again saint who walks by faith has to grapple with sin at times. And I know that sounds a hard one, but it's that swimming up against the current. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see then the faithfulness of God, and that's why we walk by faith, by whom you were called. Called into what? Called into a relationship with your Heavenly Father. That is what faith is for. That is the triumph of our faith, to have this relationship with our Lord. Of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if you don't understand relationship with the Lord, you do not understand this walk of faith. And that is why faith isn't working as it should. Because you're failing to see my walk with the Lord is about a fellowship with him. Love. Communing. Walking together. I walk this day not on my own, but with him, who is the author, finisher of my faith. Yes, even your spouse. As much as you would love your wife or husband, your walk first and foremost is with the Lord. Your husband, your wife is second to that. And that offends some couples. But that is discipleship. That is how God has presented it, and he doesn't get it wrong. And for some, that's good news, and others, that offends them, you see. Romans 11:20 reveals to us how we stand. Romans 11, verse 20, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. And that is how we stand. And it says also in verse 20, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. There we are. So what do we have to guard? Haughtiness. What is that? Pride. Pride is the spiritual cancer to our faith. I'm preaching this at the moment on Instagram. Because through unbelief, haughtiness, stiff-necked, they were broken off. And he says, you stand by faith, by the grace and mercy of God, and watch your pride, that you are not stiff-necked, but fear. Fear what? Fear God. Because if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Whoa. That is scary stuff. Because Israel was called out of all nations. We are grafted in because of their failure. But he gives that warning. And he says, your problem, like the children of Israel is pride. And this is why we have to continually keep our knees bowed in the presence of God. And a humble saint will be one who doesn't know anything unless God reveals it. We've got too many today who know it all and let you know how much they know. That is not how we're to walk. We're to walk humbly and lowly, because I'm not depending on the things of this world, my intelligence and what I've learnt. I am dependent on what God reveals to me by his grace and mercy. That is what should be influencing us and what we say. That is what causes our faith to line up with the word of God, Romans 10. We're still too much filled with ourselves and our own achievements and what we're doing and what we know. No. When you start bowing the knee and you want that humility and you're asking God to work that in your life, my goodness, it begins to open your eyes. You're utterly ashamed of yourself at times. How you put self before the Lord. But that's what it's to do. That is what it's to do, you see. And that is why we are, as we take our cross up each day, the cross works that humility, that lowliness within us. Because all the while we're full of self, you can't hear from the Lord. You have to decide whose throne you want, whether it's the throne of self or the throne of God. There cannot be two thrones in a walk with God. And saints have to settle that one. As I say, God doesn't make a mistake in any of these things. What does it say in something we know very well here in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7? He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And there it is. do not depend on what you see, what you feel, what you hear, what's going on. It's nothing to do with your walk of faith. We're hearing, and at the moment we've got a lot of voices and prophets speaking out now about tomorrow, which is going to be total eclipse over the US. And they believe that this is going to usher off certain seismic events. And of course, this slight earthquake they had a couple of days ago in New York has set it all off. And they're all predicting now, this is the coming of the Lord. We're coming to the end and everything. The prophets, the false prophets are speaking out. And when I listen to some of this stuff, I pick up immediately fear, unbelief. We're not to be shaken by any of these things. The Lord has told us. And so these people that are speaking out on this stuff and everything, it tells me very clearly we're coming very close to the end. But whatever God wants us to hear prophetically, he'll speak it through the fivefold ministry. Those who are divinely called of God, not these charlatans. And yet people follow all of this stuff. Why? Because they're not grounded in the word. Their hearts, their faces are not looking solely to the Lord. And you see it. You see it. This is why Jesus said, narrow is the way into the kingdom of God. Few there be that find it. This is a work of grace, brothers and sisters. None of us could be in this walk were it not for the love of God, the power of God, preserving and keeping us. We're all becoming very, very aware of this. I most certainly am. I know I'm being kept by the power and love of God to do what I do. And you likewise are learning this more and more. Because it can't work, naturally speaking. To work within us a faithfulness to endure to the end takes the grace and mercy of God, but it takes a triumphant faith to believe that that work which he had begun, he will complete and finish in me. But we've got many of these charlatans, many now are speaking out. I listen to a lot of it. They don't preach faith. Faith is, do you know, this faith teaching is barely heard now. And Brother Freeman said this would happen at the end. There's a famine in the land now. That famine is of hearing the word of God because it's not there. So few are preaching faith as the Bible presents it, as Jesus walked by it. They have a form of faith, but their faith is in their faith. Their faith is in the arm of the flesh, running to man. They don't see that you are to trust and believe God. But they will, when it all begins to start failing, and it's going to fail. And we're already getting warnings not to trust in man and the arm of the flesh. I have heard recently that they now want to introduce mRNA vaccine into our food chain to slowly try and alter and change the DNA. The devil is subtle. They realize it's not working through the vaccines because there's so many injuries and it's coming out now. What has come as a result of all of this, but they are determined we're going to have this stuff. And so they're going to start to put it in the food chain. And they're going to start with your salads. That's where they want to start. What do you do, brothers and sisters? Well, we trust the Lord. That's why we pray over our food, because at times we don't know what is in this stuff. But I'll tell you something, if we can avoid it, then we do. In other words, we have to trust God. We have to walk by faith. God will give us organic if it's what we want. I don't know how, but he will. Maybe we'll start growing our own stuff. Who knows? But this is what we're facing now. The powers of darkness are revealing what the mark of the beast will be and will be like. And those who are left, who didn't take this faith walk seriously, will realize they then are presented with an option, whether to take it or not take it. But we are seeing the warnings, the signs are revealing what the mark will be like. And the wise will see this. And they will allow what they're seeing by the Spirit to cause them to triumph, to overcome, to spur them on. This is why we bring up these things at times, or we give a video at times. It's to help you, to spur you on what is coming, to get in faith, to trust God that he is the author and finisher of your faith. He is your faith. If you haven't got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not understand the faith and the deeper life that we teach. You will always just see it as legalism. But when you see what your faith is, it is Christ, him himself, then it makes a world of a difference. And it enables us then to stand, to resist these things and not depend on the arm of the flesh, which so many Christians still are, because of the pride that is in them. They're haughty. And we have to bow that knee constantly, daily, before God. I know nothing, Lord. I'm at your mercy. I'm at your disposal. I am kept by you. I put no confidence in myself, my ability, my intelligence, my education, or whatever. Not at all. You are the one that will raise me up. You are the one that will call me on that day when the trumpet sounds and come up. It's all of him. Finally, let's look at something we know so well, and we look at it often in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 10. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And these works have got to go in our lives. These works are where we do things still independently of him, because we don't want to yield to his will, his way, lest anyone should boast. That's why, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's gone before to prepare your walk of faith, the race that you are in. He's gone to prepare the works for you, that you walk in them. Isn't that amazing? That is what makes this whole walk supernatural. My walk this day has been prepared for me. And Father, I want to walk in what you have prepared for me this day. Have you ever asked him that? Have you ever prayed for that? I walk this day and each day in the walk that you have prepared for me before the foundation of the world. That is how I walk by faith. There's a promise there you've never seen before. That's come by the Spirit today, brothers and sisters. I've never seen that fully in that light before. Can you not see God loves us? And what he's sharing with us in these closing days. How can we doubt? We're seeing what faith does in God's hands, as we are that clay and the master potter, as he's mastering and perfecting this vessel before his sight. Praise God. And that's why we triumph in his hands. And finally, let's close with Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There we are. He's faithful. He started that work and is going to complete and finish it for his glory. Don't let us resist, fight him any longer. Let's yield over and let him do that work. And that we start to walk in these closing days by faith. Those good works that have been prepared before the foundation of the world. Praise God.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, our Father.